Elders past and present. Ladies and gentlemen, you have before you a panel of independent persons unrelated to the council or the council laws. The panel comprises experts and a community representative, and each one of them is appointed in an independent way to be a member of that panel. Those persons who have registered to speak will be allowed to speak for 3 minutes, and that is to be strictly applied, particularly having regard to the fact that we have 10 items on the agenda to deal with. And the panel will attempt to deliver its decision immediately after it's heard the public submissions. I will ask each one of the panel members to introduce themselves so that you can understand what their background and expertise is. There will be declarations of interest. I have no interest to declare. One of the members has a declaration to make in respect of one of the items. He'll do that in his own account. But my name is Angus Talbot. My background is the law. Pardon me. Having been a solicitor and a barrister, I was a member, a judge on the Land and Environment Court for 15 years, and since then I've involved myself in extraneous matters associated with that type of career, including being on this panel and on a number of other panels in a similar capacity. I'll ask the individual members to introduce themselves and give you a short understanding of their expertise, starting with Mr. Johnson on my left.
Thank you. My name is David Johnson. I'm an environmental scientist. I have been an environmental consultant for most of my career, but for the last 10 years I have been a member of the Planning Assessment Commission for 6 years. I have been lecturing in environmental science at university, and I am at the moment on two other panels, local planning panels, similar to this one.
Mr. McInerney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is John McInerney, and my background is in architecture and town planning. I'm a qualified and registered architect and town planner. And from the local government perspective, my background there is as Deputy Lord Mayor at the City of Sydney. And I have no declarations of interest to declare, Mr. Chairman.
I assume, Mr. Johnson, you have no interest.
I have no conflict of interest to declare either.
My name is Ken Hawke, and I'm the community representative on the panel. I've lived in the Inner West area for over 45 years, and I have a career in local government planning. Final position being the Director of Planning at Marrickville Council. I do have a conflict of interest to declare in that I have a possible conflict of interest regarding item number 10 on the agenda, as I'm a close friend of an objector to the application, and I will take no part in deliberations on the matter.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda relates to the property 10-4 Lackey Street, Summer Hill. Nobody is listed to speak. The panel observed the site today during its series of inspections. All of the improvements that are proposed are on the roof. There is a breach of the height control, but that breach makes no contribution to the presentation of the front elevation of the building. There are no external impacts, consistent with other developments in the vicinity. The request to vary height development standard pursuant to clause 4.6 is compliant and justifies non-compliance. Accordingly, the panel adopts the conclusions and recommendations at page 17 of the report and thereby approves the application unanimously. Item number two, there are two people listed to speak. First of all, Marie Taylor, and it relates to the proposal for development at 30 Hart Street, Balmain East. Ms. Taylor? Thank you. Yes, please. Do you want to do it in conjunction? Oh, no, yes. You want to do it in conjunction with your co-applicant? Or are you going to speak for both?
I'll initiate. Do you want to? Good afternoon. We have no issue with the report that was written by council, as we discussed this morning in your site visit, the floor square ratio and so forth, which is the reason why we understood we came here. So we have no issue with that. As I mentioned this morning, we need to just simply point out, as a matter of a technicality, that there are three trees, not two, in order to have them included in that report.
We don't know which one's the extra one.
We can tell you that. It's no longer there.
Mahogany.
It's the
first one listed. Oh, okay. No
mahogany? Yeah.
Admittedly, the panel could only find two trees.
Yeah.
Does the panel agree?
Jacaranda is one.
Yes, there's a jacaranda.
Yeah.
And a Corymbia.
Is that the one, that's still there? Yeah, they're the two.
And I'm happy to...
It's a flowering gum.
Yes, the flowering gum, yes.
I see. So was there a swamp mahogany there?
Yes, there was, but council has removed it.
Council removed it?
Yeah.
There was a number of them in the area that had some work.
All right, just one moment. Do we all agree there was no swamp mahogany?
Yes, we did.
All right. Okay, thank you. Continue.
Okay, so that's just a technicality to get that correct. The other one, as we mentioned this morning, is that the one of the trees that is there, whose name escapes me, which is the one, what's the name of the tree? Not the jacaranda, the other one that is there, has branches that...
Flowering gum.
Right, thank you. So as the builder who's been on site to look at the potential work, he said he may need to remove a branch in order to replace the new window.
We think that's accommodated in the conditions and they're sufficiently flexible.
Okay, that's good.
Because there's a plan that's got to be adopted and so on.
Yeah, that's good. And we go for
light grey on the garage. White or light grey? Does that satisfy you?
Thank you very much. That's it.
Anything else
that's
you want to put? You don't want us to talk us out of something?
No, I think that we're comfortable. Thank you.
Right.
Thanks very much.
All right. Do you wish to add anything?
No, that's fine.
All right. As is obvious, the panel inspected the site this morning. The development rate relates to alterations and additions to an existing dwelling house at 30 Hart Street, Balmain East. The officer's report agrees with the applicant's heritage architect that the proposal is acceptable from an heritage perspective, apart from a requirement to paint the garage white. We'll deal with that in a minute. That being the same colour as the dwelling to be consistent with the characteristic of the Balmain East Heritage Conservation Area, and that the proposed palisade fence does not exceed 1.8 metres. The panel does not specify that white is the only option and is prepared to add an option of light grey. The clause 4.6 request to vary the FSR floor space ratio standard addresses the objective of the standard and whether the variation is justified on the basis that although the exceedance is 19.16%, the increase presently proposed is by only 0.81 square metres and will have no adverse impacts and will be imperceptible. The panel agrees with the officers that the variation is justified. The panel, in the circumstances, adopts the conclusion and recommendation which appears upon page 101 of the council's report, subject to adding the words or light grey at the appropriate spot in clause 4 small a. So So that's a unanimous decision by the panel. Moving on now to item number 3. There are no persons...
Did you take out the other tree?
Oh, yes. Sorry, before you go, the tree, the third tree identified in the discussion, which appears in condition number 19, tree number 1 is deleted.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Mr. Hawke. Item 3 relates to the proposal affecting the property 317 to 331 Liverpool Road, Ashfield. No one is listed to speak. The panel visited the site this morning. The proposed changes to the facade satisfy the requirements of the development control plan and will contribute to the preservation of the building, a presentation of the building to the streetscape, while at the same time maintaining a reasonable degree of privacy for the occupants. Condition C11 presently requires that a public art feature be approved by council prior to the issue of the construction certificate. The applicant seeks to delay that approval by a requirement that the details be approved prior to the issue of the occupation certificate. The council officer do not agree with this change, and it will constrain the element of flexibility in the design if the details are left until the building is virtually complete. The panel accepts this recommendation for the reasons given in the report. Accordingly, unanimously, the Council adopts the conclusion and recommendations appearing at page 147 of the Council officer's report, and the application is approved. Moving on to item number 4. Here again, no one is listed to speak. The panel visited the site, the application relates to 24 Catherine Street, Leichhardt, which, as I said, the panel visited this morning. The application is under section 4.55 of the EP&A Act to modify determination number D2018/529 to include a dormer window at the front elevation and a third bedroom to each dwelling. The subject proposal satisfies the objectives of the R1 General Residential Zone and FSR Development Standard. The proposed dormers are vertically proportionate so as not to detract from the Catherine Street streetscape. The additional gross floor area is wholly located within the approved building envelope and as such will not impede on the amenity of the neighbouring properties. It is considered, therefore, that the proposal is satisfactory, and accordingly, unanimously, the panel adopts recommendation at page 193 in the council officer's report. Moving on now to item number 5, and Justin Long is listed to speak as architect on behalf of the applicant. Do you hear, Mr. Long? Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, panel.
Yeah. This relates to the properties 33A Hague Avenue, Summer Hill. Mr. Long, we visited the site, the panel takes no issue with your proposal in relation to the maintenance of the doors. However, you'll need to address us on the other issue, which is contentious, namely whether or not the works can be carried out before the subdivision certificate is issued.
Sure, okay. So originally the intention of the application was to apply for A, a current title subdivision, and B, alterations and additions. Council have placed this condition that all the works need to be complete prior to an application for a current title subdivision. We understand the intention of that, to keep the uniformity for both the properties. That was mentioned a lot throughout the planning report and in the heritage comments. But the pair of semi-detached brick dwellings that you've seen, that have been there since day dot. They've always operated as two separate dwellings, however, they just happen to have a common title. My client bought both of them a bit over 5 years ago, I think. And they'd like to improve improvement, which you can see on the plans that council have recommended for approval. However, placing the condition that both of the works of both properties has to be complete prior to a subdivision places a lot of restrictions on the client. I mean, they're likely to spend $500,000 on each property. They're not prepared to do that at this stage. They might want to do one. If the condition were removed, the uniformity of the two properties will always be maintained. Any change to a DA on one property needs to be approved by council. The council will always take that stance that uniformity needs to be maintained. So council still have control to maintain the uniformity. It's even mentioned in the heritage report that it's unlikely that any further additions can be made with regard to FSR and setbacks and that type of thing. So I guess the point is, if the condition is removed, council still have full control of the uniformity by approving or not approving any future application on it. However, if the condition isn't removed, the client, the owner of the property, doesn't have any flexibility as to how they go about getting it built. For example, if they might make life a lot easier for them or even make the improvements possible if they can sell one to fund the other or build one, live in it, rent the other one out to pay for the additions or any combination of possibilities. So the removal of the condition gives my client a whole lot more flexibility, but it doesn't really place council in a position where they're not getting what they achieve by maintaining the uniformity, if that makes sense. So we'd like to have a condition removed. We could reflect it in the statement of environmental effects and sort of stuff.
Yes, the difficulty, Mr. Long, as the panel sees it, is that there are some joint infrastructure requirements. Such as the upper level party wall, the box gutter, the hedge, and the potential difficulty with identifying fire separation requirements when the second opportunity is taken. What do you say to that? They need to be done in conjunction, in other words. That's the way it's designed.
It could, the box cutter is one element there, that's correct.
Party wall's a bit difficult.
No, often you've got two semi-detached houses where one neighbour chooses to do an addition, and the onus is on them to construct the party wall. It's not difficult to construct the party wall, so that could be reconditioned that way, that any works required in conjunction of both of the properties be carried out with one.
But out of it doesn't exist.
And the box gutter requires some thought.
Mm. All right. I'll just, anything else you want to put to me about that? I think we understand your problem.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any change to our
the box covers?
So you're sticking with the decision. I mean, they can always modify.
Mm.
102 or whatever the number is nowadays.
Mm. Mm.
What are you sticking with?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. All right, thank you, Mr. Long. This development application relates to 3 and 3 capital A Hague Avenue, Summer Hill. The proposal for subdivision maintains the existing physical characteristics of the second occupation of the individual sites by the main dwelling and the dual occupancy dwelling. Accordingly, in physical terms, the cadastral change will maintain the existing pattern of subdivision within the Hague Avenue Heritage Conservation Area. That is, there will be no change to the existing dual occupancy arrangement. The request by the applicant to justify the variation of the minimum lot size standard under clause 4.6 satisfies the requirements of that clause. The proposed changes to the existing buildings will not result in contravention of the height of buildings or FSR development standards. Subject to compliance with proposed conditions relating to the retention of paired timber windows, amendment of colour patterns and utilisation of white painted timber joinery on elevations visible to the street and panel, the panel agrees with the proposal will not adversely impact upon significance of the conservation area. The panel does not agree with the need to change recommended by the council officers to the proposed doors, D9, D10 I think they are, as the impact of the change will be minimal and indeed indiscernible from outside the site and accordingly has no impact on the conservation area. Therefore, condition 5B, in the opinion of the panel, is not appropriate or not required. Present conditions require that all of the works in relation to both of the new lots be completed before the subdivision certificate is deferred. The applicant has made a submission that there are difficulties in timing and financing that may interfere with the proposal to carry out these developments without having, first of all, disposed or one or other of the allotments in order to finance the works on the other. The panel, nevertheless, respecting that problem, thinks that the fact that there are certain elements that are joint infrastructure works, such as the upper level party wall, the box gutter, the proposed hedge between the properties, and a potential difficulty subsequently in identifying fire separation requirement in respect of the second property if the front property goes first. Problems, if they arise, the panel suggests may well be something that could be dealt with in a modification application, but as presently viewed, the panel does not believe that the condition is unreasonable in the circumstances. There is no problem with the doors that were mentioned. Summing up, the condition requiring the work to be completed prior to the issue of the subdivision certificate should remain. Condition 5B remains. Subject to that, the panel adopts the conclusions and the recommendations as they appear at page 336 and 337 of the officer's report. Sorry?
5B is the one that we're deleting.
Yes. Yes, we're deleting 5B.
34 remains. 5B is deleted.
5B is deleted.
We're deleting 5A.
Wait a minute.
5A wasn't there.
There is no 5A, if I remember.
Oh, I'm sorry.
5B is deleted. Everything else remains.
And there isn't a 5A.
There is no 5A. All that's happening is that as far as the panel's concerned, condition 5B is deleted. Well, that's something you can consider, but it's too late to do that now, yes. I think you've got basically what you wanted, maybe not totally what you wanted, but that's what it is.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Moving on to item number 6. Item number 6 we visited today, and Caroline Stott is to address us. We met you on site today, Ms. Dott.
Thank
you have 3 minutes.
Thank you for coming. Look, we'll pass around some photographs of the operation I had to my leg 20 years ago, which indicates how delicate all that operation and work has been and how much I need to look after my leg. Anyway, good afternoon, everyone. Council's DCP ranks risk and safety as a priority, and I ask that this be applied to my DA. Sorry. I understand and support Council's wish to protect tree arbor. However, where a tree, not a native Australian species, drops flowers over a period of several weeks, which are extremely slippery, then consideration should be given to the safety of the owner. That is me. Roots broke the storm water outlet pipe. Photos were attached to the original DA, which I lodged with the council, and the roots also lifted pavers, causing a trip hazard. And it was actually quite a steep lump onto the paving, sort of lifted the paving about almost 6 inches in the old imperial standards. About a year ago, a large branch broke a finial and tiles on my garage roof. I had polio at age 2, leaving me with a weak right leg. As a child, I had a number of operations, spending more than a year in hospital from age 9 to age 15 over a period of different operations. Then again in the year 2000, I had a very successful remedial operation to straighten and lengthen my right leg, a 1 year process, and that was a life changer. It was just fantastic. I am anxious to protect my leg and keep mobile and active. As I live alone, I need to remain independent and not be forced out of my home because of the likelihood of another fall. It is recognised that the effects of polio increase with age. I am currently recovering from a broken hip. Life is very difficult for me when I break my leg, or in the last time my hip, and I need to use crutches. Driving, shopping, cooking, washing clothes are all challenging or impossible. I implore Council to act with compassion and make an exception to its rules and give me permission to remove the jacaranda tree. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Any questions by members of the panel? Mr. Johnson, Mr. Thornton? No. Thank you for that submission and for allowing us to inspect the property, Ms. Dott. The tree is significant. It contributes to the heritage significance of the area, and it is in good and apparent robust health. However, the applicant has identified some serious difficulties that she's experiencing, particularly in relation to slipping and other hazards that occur when this jacaranda tree is shedding. It is a planning principle supported by the Land Environment Court decisions that the need to carry out maintenance, such as collecting litter, droppings, etc., is not justification for removal of a tree. The panel is not able, therefore, to accede to the proposal for total removal. Although unfortunate for the applicant, who may feel it is an injustice, the criteria applied by the Council previously and the panel is consistent with the planning instruments applicable to the removal of trees and decisions made by the Court. The panel believes that the application to remove the tree entirely is misconceived, and that it could be more appropriate to reshape the proposal to seek permission for a radical pruning that maintains the life of the tree but goes in large measure towards limiting the identified impacts. Accordingly, reluctantly, I might say, from a personal point of view and appreciating the difficulties, the panel is constrained by the Land and Environment Court decisions and the general body of law and planning principles and planning instruments that apply to this type of activity. The panel must refuse the present application to remove the tree and, as I said, does so very reluctantly. It is the unanimous decision of the panel, and accordingly the application is refused, and hopefully the applicant can take the matter into her own hands in another way as suggested. Moving on now to item 7. No one is listed to appear. Item 7 relates to the property 361 Parramatta Road, Leichhardt. The panel visited the site today, noting from the report that remediation of the site is no issue. There's a valid basic certificate, rear access to Dot Lane, therefore there's no impact on the classified road of Parramatta Road. The noise assessment reporting shows that gives no rise to levels from Parramatta Road use and accordingly is acceptable in that respect. The proposed use is clearly permissible in the zone as a dwelling and tourist accommodation and visitor accommodation. The property is a contributing building located within the Parramatta Road Heritage Conservation Area. The proposed use as such is not inconsistent with the stated significance of the conservation area, but there is an issue with the bulk, height and scale of the 3 to 5 storey building proposed and the demolition of the entire existing building, save for the facade facing Parramatta Road. It is important to determine whether the building proposed can be seen as compatible with the desired future character of the area in relation to the bulk, scale, form and uses. Firstly, to ascertain whether the appropriate FSR development standard is 1:1 or 1.5:1. Secondly, to justify residential accommodation on the land within the B1 neighbourhood centre zone. The Council's argument appears to be based on the contribution of the heritage significance of the conservation area as part of a row of commercial buildings that survive along Parramatta Road. The height and bulk of the proposed development is said to be not complementary to the established character of the streetscape, and that will result in adverse impacts in terms of heritage conservation and the desired future character of the area, and therefore does not satisfy the criteria for residential development. The conclusion in that respect also has a bearing on whether the FSR standard of 1:1 or 1.5:1 applies. The clause 4.6 request provided by the applicant satisfies the requirements of that clause, of that request, in the context of what it addresses. The request depends, however, on the standard being an FSR of 1.5:1. The panel agrees with the council assessment that the proposal will result in adverse impacts on the desired future character of the area, which in turn is to a large significant extent determined by the dictates of the objects of the conservation area. The proposal is unacceptable on both counts. The panel did have some difficulty in determining whether or not the rear 5-storey section of the proposal would be visible from the opposite side of Parramatta Road, which happens to be the southern side, whereas the report refers to the building being on the southern side. However, that set aside has no influence on the decision. And the plans were not able to greatly assist in that respect, and one could not make an assessment from the other side of Parramatta Road. The panel has issues that the extra floor at the rear creates a precedent. The heritage issues are not well resolved by simply retaining the facade, and is unconvinced that the level of development can occur within the proposed development can occur within a single site. The panel agrees with the consideration by council officers and adopts the reasons 1, 2, 3 and 4 at page 406 and accordingly refuses the application. The decision is unanimous. We move now to item number 8. Item number 8 has people here to address the panel, and the first of those people is Jonathan McEwen. This rate relates to a development at 33 Chandos Street, Ashfield, and is a Section 8.2 review of a refused modification of development consent for internal and external changes to an approved boarding house. Thank you, Mr. McEwen. And I think we visited the building in which you lived, although not your actual unit, this morning.
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. McEwen.
Thank you, the panel. So I'll try to be as clear and concise as I can be. There's a lot of my piece of paper right now.
Good. You've got 3 minutes to do that.
So a couple of sort of housekeeping things. That on the plans that were submitted for amendments, there are a few things that I picked up, like there wasn't a 1.5 metre distance between the boundary and the structure, as well as the 12 metre distance between buildings for requirement for solar access didn't seem to be measured out appropriately on the plans. I did call for a few amendments to their submission, which they didn't put in. Stuff like their solar access diagrams didn't actually adequately show the lack of solar access that we'd get. It did the sort of the bare minimum, but there is actually additional adverse effects at different times of the year. All in all, I think the biggest objection I have to the amendments is it looks like it should be a new DA. A few kind of reasons for that are the footprint of the entire building has changed, as well as sort of majority of the interior. There is a bunch of legal precedents that they did put down for approval of a new an amendment with sort of rearranged internals, but in this case I feel that while the externals are also sort of reconfigured as well as the internals, it sort of doesn't keep the same sort of look and feel as the original proposal. Their appeal for the council decision was the fact that the council had sort of liaise with them and given them a green light saying, yeah, all of this would be okay. I kind of sort of took a bit of issue in that and said, well, you know, council talking sort of off the record isn't a green light or evidence in their favour for these amendments to go through. The other reason I feel this should be a new DA is because the old DA was quite some time ago, and our requirements for parking spaces have changed. Ashfield itself is quite populated now. It's very hard to find a park, even for the guests. We have people parking on our grass at the moment when they come over onto our property. A new DA, I mean, I assume should go apply, for example, adhere to the new standards of 0.5 spaces per room, whereas the old one is 0.2. So just bringing up that parking is an issue in Ashfield at the moment. So the other objection I had was they removed the attic and common room. If the upper room and roof cavity is being removed and converted into a plant and or storage room, I'd question the need to retain the height of the property as they requested that amendment.
Well, thank you, Mr. Stevenson.
No.
Mr. McEwen, sorry. Now I'm going to call on Barbara Stevenson.
Sure.
I hope that didn't offend either of you. Thank you, Ms. Stevenson.
Good afternoon, panel. My name is Barbara Stevenson, and I live in 44 Chandos Street, which is not too far from 33 Chandos Street. Now, I appeal to the panel. I understand you would have gone to the site today, and you would appreciate that that corner of Chandos Street has already got a few DAs regarding increased density, because number 30 Chandos Street is already a boarding house with 19 rooms, so notionally 38 occupants. Although I understand...
Where do you live?
I live in 44 Chandos Street.
Which house is that?
It's a block of units.
I see.
Yes.
Next to the boarding house on the other side of the road.
No, it's not next to, but it's quite near.
I see.
And you would appreciate that there's already a DA put in for 28 Chandos Street as well, next door. And I remember they were applying to convert it into a boarding house or some other sort of dwelling, which is more dense, with 64 occupants. 33 Chandler Street, I understand, is going to have 58 occupants. So suddenly you've got this big influx of vast numbers of people in just that little corner. So that little cluster of boarding houses is causing a lot of anxiety to the neighboring people like myself. And as you know, boarding houses, we don't object to them. We are not NIMBYs. We know that there's a need for affordable housing, and that's a submission we've made. And we also acknowledge that when people make these DAs, it's a commercial enterprise, and we are not against any sort of commercial enterprise at all. But we want you to appreciate that we have to live with the consequences of decisions regarding DA. I mean, panel, when you make the decision, you don't have to live with those consequences, but we have to. And the population of, I don't want to malign the population of these boarding houses, but they are transient population. And they also have psychosocial needs. And when you cram a whole lot of people into very confined sort of spaces, that's going to create problems. And there are problems not only for neighboring residents, but also among the residents themselves. So we are talking about also the needs of the residents themselves, the occupants of these dwellings. So I hope you can appreciate that, and that when you are considering DAs, please don't consider them in isolation. Because, you know, if you have DA after DA for this sort of intense sort of housing, and you're not appreciating what's happening elsewhere, and you know that Ashfield has already got quite a lot of boarding houses. There's already in Webbs Avenue, there's already in Bland Street, there's already in Kurt Street, there's quite a few in the neighboring areas. So I know people need a roof over their heads, they need somewhere to live. But you also have to consider other things like infrastructure. I think the former speaker was also talking about parking.
Do you not, Stephen,
so,
that the approval has already been given?
Yeah, but I'm not objecting to it and saying, oh, don't have a boarding house. What I'm appealing to the panel is to modify the density.
Yeah. Long as you understand.
Modify the density, yes. So, as I said earlier, I'm not objecting.
No.
Okay.
Right. Yes. Thank you for your assistance. Any questions? No. No questions. All right. Thank you, Ms. Stevenson. Now, I apologise to the next person because the identification given is MC Ling. Now, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Ms. Ling. Just not clear on my sheet, but I know who you are because we met you on site today.
Yes. Good afternoon, dear panel, and thanks for coming for the on-site inspection earlier of the day. The request for the review of the development consent should be refused as recommended already by the Inner West Council. It's quite clear that this case is a development by creep. The developer is getting what is to their
Can
benefit.
Can I just interrupt? Could you go closer to the microphone? It's not. That's it. Yes, that's probably better.
Okay. as mentioned, we feel this is quite clear that this is a case of development by creep. The developer is getting what is to their benefit by initial compromises such as agreeing to a rental capping and then reneges on the rental capping condition, the very thing that convinced council to allow them to include a fourth story in excess of R3 zone laws. As things progress, we are now seeing this development is changing with more and more so-called amendments, which has now morphed into something substantially different from the original DA. This should be, at the very least, a new DA entirely. So from the start, this was never about affordable housing, but about investment return. Otherwise, the latest applicant wouldn't have sought to have the rental capping removed. the application is certainly not considered to be in the public interest, because as a nearby adjoining building and affected neighbourhood, we've never really been consulted by them as to the impact that they will have in our building, such as ground stability, amenity, solar access, privacy and views of 25 to 27 Chandos Street, Ashfield, and also being exposed to noise and smoke increase of residents would not obviously constitute a healthy living environment for the neighbours. Also, this development application review of development actually has been refused on the 23rd of July 2019 by the council, and because it was not substantially the same as what was originally approved. So the council outlines identifies that the proposed amendments would have altered the substance of the approved development in that the intensity of use would be increased with the number of lodges increasing from 52 to 50. And the building footprint is changed, the general external massing is changed, and we are also concerned that the new application of excessive roof form and bulk and potential use of the area in the roof for habitable purpose and the intensity of use to be increased with the number of lodges. So in summary, neighbours should not be subject to continuous submissions and court hearings, plan jargon and legal jargon. This should just be a straight up new DA and it can go through its process. Finally, I ask IWC to appeal to the Land and Environment Court regarding the removal of the affordability clause, because this is, if it's a boarding house, it is what it's supposed to be. And we would like to see IWC implement affordability clause for all future boarding houses in the area in future, so affordable housing is actually affordable, not a cash cow for developers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I understand that somebody wants to make note. Any questions, Mr. Okay, now, I understand there's an application to be made by Eugene Sarek. Is that right?
I'm just going to answer this. Yes, it is.
No.
Thank you, Chair. This is a Section 8.2 review of a refused modification of consent for internal and external changes to an approved boarding house. The proposal is to modify consent, including changes to the exterior, the building footprint, the envelope, setbacks, and general design. Changes to the roof form are also proposed, including increasing the size. There's also proposed internal reconfiguration and landscaping changes. The proposal conforms with floor space ratio, height, and landscaping controls. The number of proposed rooms does not increase, and the provision of car parking is maintained. However, whilst the approved habitable rooms in the attic level have been deleted, the roof has in fact increased in size. The panel considers that the roof bulk should be minimised as much as possible and the dormer window details should be deleted. Inadequate information has also meant that the solar impacts of the development cannot be accurately determined. In addition, an updated acoustic report has not been provided, and there is insufficient information to assess potential privacy impacts on neighbours. The officer's assessment report has also raised unanswered questions regarding waste storage and collection, access and mobility, and stormwater management. Finally, a revised plan of management has not been provided to reflect the revised scheme. Notwithstanding that the modification proposal has some merit, there are aspects which cannot be supported without refinement and the submission of further information. As currently proposed, the development would result in adverse impacts on the amenity of adjoining properties and the streetscape. For these reasons, the panel endorses the recommendation on page 497 of the agenda for refusal of the application, and the consideration of any further changes or the submission of further information should be by way of a new modification application.
That's a unanimous decision by the panel. Moving on to item number 9, and the person listed to speak in relation to the development at 56 Ewart Street, Marrickville, is Stefan Lombardo. No Stefan Lombardo. Well, in that case, we won't stop to tarry about what's happened to him. He doesn't appear, and I'll ask Mr. McInerney to reflect upon the panel's discussion and decision. Thank you, Mr. McInerney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The panel had the opportunity of an inspection this morning. We were looking at a proposed, effectively a modification of a previous development approval, and that modification is in a sense, or has resulted from an architectural work through of initially approved plans. During that work through, the requirement for sprinkling of the car park in the lower area, which is a recent requirement of building control, became applicable to this particular development, and the inclusion of that and various associated pumps and storage areas led to a minor, very minor increase in height and a very minor increase in floor space. Effectively, Mr. Chairman, the decision of the panel, which I believe is unanimous, is that the application should be approved, and that the decision as per the recommendation on page 497 should in fact be endorsed by the panel.
497.
Am I on the right?
672. 672. Oh, no, that's wrong. That's the next matter.
608.
Sorry about that.
Just one moment, ladies and gentlemen.
608.
608.
608.
Yes. Yes. Or
yes,
60,
the conclusion and 608. Recommendation at 608 is adopted.
That's right.
And that decision is unanimous. Thank you, Mr. McInerney. Now we move on to item number 10, which relates to the property 78 to 80 Dalhousie Street, Haberfield. Mr. Hawke declares an interest in regard to an aspect of this matter. And will retire and has taken no part in the deliberation heretofore as a consequence of that identification of an interest. Being the last matter, he even gets an early mark. The first person who is listed to make a submission is David Rollinson. I hope he's here after all of that.
Oh, there he is.
Thank you, Mr. Rollinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, panel. I'm here as the Vice President and Heritage Advisor of the Ashfield and District Historical Society, and I make this submission and have made prior submissions on behalf of the Society. The Council has...
Do you believe in them yourself?
Beg your pardon, sir?
Do you believe in them yourself?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. The Council has had the Society's had the privilege for some years of receiving notifications from the former Ashfield Council and now from the Inner West Council, for which we're grateful. We don't make submissions on heritage matters all that often, but on this is one occasion where we felt we needed to. We lodged a submission on the development application in September 2019. I trust the panel has had the opportunity to see that submission. My one-page submission to the panel today, which I lodged with the panel secretariat on the 4th of February. I hope you've seen that as well. It does not repeat what was said in September last year, but it raises two key concerns, and I'll address those now. The GBA Heritage Statement of Heritage Impact that was dated August 2019 does not carry out the task that's required of it. It does not treat the Haberfell Library as a whole, that is, the School of Arts with the 1987 Tanner editions. The Tanner editions have formed part of the library for over 30 years. This is part of an evolving history of the School of Arts building, albeit a structure of a later period. The Borough Charter requires an assessment. This has not happened, and the Statement of Heritage Impact is flawed and incomplete.
Oh, yeah.
This, I say, is a threshold issue for you to consider. The GBA Heritage Statement of Heritage Impact goes on to conclude that the Tanner editions are, quote, unsympathetic and, quote, non-significant, end quote. There is no evidence or argument given in support for these conclusions. The second concern I raise is this. Additional material was submitted to the Council in December last year, apparently at Council's request. The DA report before you states that what was submitted, quote, satisfies the Council's heritage advisor. No information is given as to what was submitted, nor any details or argument in the report as to why this is so, why the heritage advisor is satisfied. If the Statement of Heritage Impact was indeed amended, details are not given. Has a full assessment of heritage significance as required now been undertaken?
Now, Mr. Rollinson, obviously we need to have a discussion about how long you're going to be, because your 3 minutes is up.
My next words,
I'm
Mr. Chairman.
I'm particularly anxious to maintain that regime.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman. For reasons that would be obvious to you.
Thank you. I agree, sir. My next comment was, I conclude.
Very timely, Mr. Rollinson.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I conclude.
Oh, I see. This is an addendum to the conclusion, is it?
No. I conclude by saying, Mr. Chairman, that councils are required to be model applicants.
All right.
In my experience, DAs involving council properties, where council is the applicant, are externally assessed. There's no indication in the report before you that this has occurred, be it a heritage assessment or otherwise. Council didn't see fit to re-notify the additional information it received in December of last year, and in the interests of good governance, transparency, and to minimise any claims of conflict of interest, the Society requests that the Council re-notify the material it received in December of last year, and that you defer the DA accordingly.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Malachi Ward. Thank you, Mr. Ward. Come forward. You weren't here when I announced the fact that each of the submissions should be constrained to 3 minutes, Mr. Ward. I hope you're able to meet that requirement.
Yes, I'm
thank you.
Aware of that.
Thank you.
As you'd be aware from my submission, I'm quite supportive of the upgrade to the Haberfield Centre, but I strongly object to the proposed facade. I believe it is clear the Council has failed to give appropriate consideration to the public interest, has failed to listen to the community, has failed to accurately report on and fairly respond to objections raised by the community, and has failed to comply with the DCP. At several meetings Council had with community representatives, concerns were expressed about the facade. And at the conclusion of all those meetings, there was a consensus that Council, the architects and heritage consultants would give further consideration to the design of this facade. This clearly has not happened. Recent postings on Facebook have attracted 1,500 people from the inner west area, and none have been in favour of the facade. In responding to the objections, the council report appears to cherry-pick from the objections. For example, it discusses the inconsistency with the requirements for